David DeLeiden, welcome to Love Will End Abortion. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing very good. We're very blessed to have you with us. Very excited for you to share just the powerful testimony that you have and some of the connections that have been coming out through this preliminary hearing that are very disturbing, but also very illuminating, helping people to understand the reality of what's really going on and hopefully motivate us all to greater pro-life action. So, David, you recently, for the first time ever, took the witness stand and told the story, providing new details explaining what led you to start the Center for Medical Progress and begin your undercover investigation into Planned Parenthood and the unbelievably gruesome industry of harvesting and trafficking baby body parts in the U.S. From the beginning, what led you to begin your investigation?
Well, the whole issue of the harvesting and trafficking in the body parts of aborted children first came across my radar in the summer of 2010, when I started learning about sort of the only other time that there had been a major investigation or a major expose done on this issue. At that time, it had been 10 years previous. Now here in 2019, we're talking about 20 years ago in 1999 and 2000, there was a very early expose done on this issue by my friend Mark Crutcher and his organization Life Dynamics out in Texas. They had primary source documents that they had obtained from a whistleblower from a Planned Parenthood clinic in the Midwest in Kansas. And that whistleblower had actually gone to the FBI, and he also testified with sworn testimony in front of the U.S. Congress in March of 2000, telling them that he had seen children being born alive in the Planned Parenthood clinic and killed through organ harvesting and killed sometimes by the abortion doctors at that Planned Parenthood clinic in Overland Park, Kansas. And there was also a very good ABC 2020 undercover expose and investigation and news broadcast done about the allegations from that whistleblower and the issues with that Planned Parenthood clinic in Kansas, all of this dating from the year 2000. So there was there were a lot of very serious allegations that were, that were sort of noted and put out there and, evidenced and documented in 2000 about children being born alive and either killed by the abortion doctors or killed through organ harvesting, through vivisection, allegations about abortion methods being changed non-consensual experimental abortions being done on patients solely for the purpose of harvesting body parts for experimentation, serious allegations about the financial kickbacks and the volume-based payments that were going to the clinics based on the number of body parts that could be sold out of them. So all of these really serious crimes were, there was evidence being presented of them way back in 2000. But then for whatever reason, I think because it was before the age of YouTube, before the age of Facebook and social media, before the new media, Planned Parenthood was able to very skillfully sweep it under the rug and get all of their allies in the establishment media to help them cover this up and pretend like it never happened. And so then for about 10 years, from 2000 to 2010, when I first, when I first started reading about all this stuff, I was astounded that there had been no follow-up on this extremely serious and grave issue. With so much, with such serious crimes of violence being committed against women and children by the abortion industry and by the organ trafficking industry, there had been no follow-up by any major pro-life organization or by any major investigative agency or by any major media organization for 10 years at that point. And I thought that this issue, as you say, was particularly, it was particularly grave and it's particularly horrific, but it's also particularly illuminating and clarifying for the abortion debate in our country, that the body parts are only valuable for Planned Parenthood and others to sell precisely because they're human just like us. The level of exploitation and dehumanization beyond just the abortion itself, but going to the parting out and selling the body parts of these kids like they're widgets on an assembly line, actually, piecing them out and placing orders for them and setting quotas for body parts and for abortions to be fulfilled before the children are even dead yet. That's something that just strikes at the core of our values as Americans and as human beings, who we want to be, what we believe about human equality and human dignity. So I thought this was an extremely important issue that really deserved to be front page headline news. Again, it should be on the tip of everybody's tongue if we're going to be talking about abortion policy in our country and how we treat children in the womb. And so I was very convicted, and I really I thought that this issue, more than any other, I really wanted to focus on it. I thought it deserved to have a very long-term, in-depth expose done on it, get more visual documentation, get undercover video, which is something that they didn't have back in 2000. And so I felt like this was the most important thing that I could do with my time and with my talents. And so I had the opportunity to start my own citizen journalism organization in 2013, which is the Center for Medical Progress, in order to have the structure to be able to do a very long-term, in-depth undercover study like this. And so that's what we did from 2013 to 2015, when we started releasing the undercover videos.
And you mention the word vivisection in there. What does that actually mean, vivisection?
Vivisection is like dissection, except the thing that you're dissecting isn't dead yet. So when we talk about vivisection of a fetus or vivisection of a born alive infant, it's dissecting the baby while the baby is still alive, and that's what would kill the baby. And so that is perhaps the most horrifying and most sickening reality that occurs in the harvesting and trafficking of body parts from aborted children, that they abort the children alive and their hearts are still beating when they cut organs out of them.
And is this something? This is something that I'm learning as I'm hearing what's coming out of these preliminary hearings, and it's quite jaw-dropping to learn this news and to think about all of this. I mean, it was already jaw-dropping to see the undercover videos that you produced and all of that. But I may have missed it in those videos, but I don't recall, I guess, these points coming out about the children, them actually changing the procedures to have the children be born alive so that they could then harvest body parts and then use this technique of getting the body parts over for experimentation or whatever else they're using them for. But it seems to be coming out very clearly in the preliminary hearing here. Is a lot of this new that is coming out now, or have we just sort of missed it from the videos?
What's new is that it's never been stated so clearly and unequivocally before. All of these allegations and all of these issues are present in the undercover videos for sure. And there's so many different issues, like we just talked about so far in this interview. There's the financial aspect. There's the changing the abortion and the patient consent and the medical ethics aspect of it. There's the partial birth abortion aspect of it. There's the born alive infant infanticide vivisection aspect of it. It's very it's it, you know it's a big it's a really big topic. And once you scratch one little piece of it or pull on one little part of a thread, you end up getting the whole ball of yarn, and it can become very overwhelming very quickly for people. But all of these issues are present in the undercover footage that we obtained. And we've got the undercover video of Planned Parenthood's senior director of medical services openly admitting to using ultrasound to flip a baby to a feet first position so that she can get the entire thing out intact, all in one piece. We know that they're not using any kind of feticide to kill the babies before the abortions, because that would spoil the body parts for experimentation and that would kill all of the stem cells. So that means that if that when you have a fetus being delivered intact, its heart is still beating and it's still alive. We have one of the very first undercover footage that I ever recorded for this project specifically that was released is an interview with the procurement manager of Advanced Bioscience Resources, which is one of the oldest middleman harvesting companies in the country. They've been working with Planned Parenthood in San Diego for almost 20 years at this point. And she says right in that interview, she says, well, most of the time, you know, the goal in an abortion is, you know, the doctor's goal is not to have a live birth. But then she says, but sometimes, you know, you have a woman who, you know, who they put her in the operating room and I'm waiting, you know, next door for the case to come out. And all of a sudden she's out of the operating room in 3 minutes. I'm going, what's going on? You know, this was a fetus that I was supposed to harvest from. And they say, oh, well, the fetus was already in the vaginal canal when we put her in the stirrups. It just fell out. So, you know, that's an example of a, you know, of an infant that would be born alive in a clinic where there are harvesting technicians waiting to harvest body parts from that child. So it's all in there. You know, when we're talking about Planned Parenthood and their business partners in harvesting and selling baby body parts, for the most part, I mean, these people are doctors or they're medical professionals, which makes it even worse because they should be held to a much higher standard. But, you know, these are intelligent people for the most part. They're not stupid. They have a lot of jargon. They have a lot of technical language. And they have a lot of euphemisms because the acts that they're doing are so horrific and so inhumane. They have to use euphemisms in order to get away with it, even among themselves. So it can be sort of mystifying to, you know, to regular people or even to people of, you know, even to educated people, even to investigators. This, you know, investigating the abortion industry sometimes becomes kind of mystifying because there's so much technical language and there's so much euphemism and so many things are sort of veiled and cloaked to try to, you know, to try to fly under the radar. It becomes very esoteric in a way. But all of that is in there in the original undercover footage, and it's coming out louder and clearer and more obvious to everybody than ever before in the witness testimony that's coming out in court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, obviously the mainstream media is not reporting on this, and that's a tragedy and a scandal in and of itself. But I would say all of us, I mean, pro-life media, Catholic media, Christian media, every single one of us who call ourselves pro-life, we have to dig in to all of this. I mean, it can be an overwhelming amount of information to sort of dig into. But look, you've given us the example and the witness. None of it existed. And you were, I mean, very little. You had very little to go on. You were making these connections in your own private investigations. And it led you to say, you know what? This has to be uncovered. I have to bring this out. You've now done that. Now it is up for everybody else to actually digest this, make sense of it, and act upon it. And so we have to do our part. You know, you've done a great service for all of us and to uncover all of this. But if nobody wants to look at it, if nobody does anything with it, you know, then that's a very sad state of truth that we are in, sadly, with the state of affairs, not just in the secular world, but in the church and in the pro-life world in general. What have you thought of as you've kind of seen the response? Have you been surprised by it in any way, for good or for bad? And what is your call to action for us?
Well, you know, overwhelmingly, the response has been positive. And I've been very surprised and blessed and gratified for the past 4 years now to see how overwhelmingly there is so much more public support than there is opposition. You really do get a skewed picture if you only listen to the establishment media that has been in bed with Planned Parenthood and their allies for decades. So Americans are tuned into this issue. They're waking up. They're extremely disturbed and heartbroken over it. And I think that it's really important that that everybody, you know, continue to like raise your voices to your community leaders, to people in positions of authority in your community. The people in our country who believe in respecting and valuing human life and who believe in respecting and protecting children in the womb are a majority and are an electoral force to be reckoned with. We're the reason that the current president was elected, and I think the current administration knows that. We have seen incredible breakthroughs over the past couple of years here with the most pro-life administration in the country, for the first time enacting a federal defunding of Planned Parenthood so that and other abortion providers so that taxpayer dollars are no longer propping up abortion businesses contrary to the clear language of federal law. The new prohibition on fetal experimentation at government laboratories and increased human subjects protections for any remaining fetal experimentation that happens at any other or that is contemplated at any other public institutions. And a lot more besides. We're still waiting for an update to be announced by the Senate Judiciary Committee about the criminal referrals that they sent over to the FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice for Planned Parenthood and many of their business partners for harvesting and selling baby body parts against the federal law. So there's a lot of good news to look at and to take heart in. There's a lot more that still has to be done. The one thing that Planned Parenthood and their business partners don't want is they don't want public exposure. They don't want to face public scrutiny or to face official scrutiny for their actions towards women and unborn children, and their way that they treat children in the womb and their families. So I think that the most important thing that anybody can do is keep on sharing the videos, keep on sharing the information about what comes out in the sworn courtroom testimony. We're about to have we've had this preliminary hearing in Kamala Harris's case that she initiated against us a couple of weeks ago. Now, starting next month, all in October, we're going to have a full civil jury trial in Planned Parenthood's federal civil lawsuit in San Francisco. So, all the same characters from the undercover videos and from their leadership and many others are going to be taking the witness stand for a whole month this time, and they'll be questioned about their statements on the videos and many other things besides. So these issues are not going away. They're going to have to either tell the truth or face serious charges of perjury for lying under oath on the witness stand. So this information is, I think this is sort of a crucial new level of exposure for Planned Parenthood and for the abortion industry, a new level of public scrutiny and official scrutiny that they're entering into. And so I think we need to amplify that. And I think that people need to really, tune in and be aware of that and be sure to spread that around and publicize it.
Mm-hmm. And Planned Parenthood and the state of California, I mean, they're trying to come after you with these lawsuits. And while they're doing that, it actually seems to be working against them, because then your lawyers are able to put different witnesses from Planned Parenthood on the stand and get them to testify under oath. I mean, is that really how you're looking at that at this point? I mean, do you feel any sense of concern about the lawsuit against you? I mean, it seems to me that very clearly that is something that you certainly will win. I know the judge is one where maybe he has some bias and that's going to be a possible factor here. But just from the facts alone, it seems very, very clear that your case is very strong, in the sense that you were thinking about this before you even started the investigation. You talked to doctors, you talked to lawyers. I mean, you understood what you were getting into from the beginning, and you thought that since this was going to be crimes that you were uncovering, that therefore that would actually make it something that would be legal, even though in California, ordinarily, there's a two-party informing system where both parties have to know they're being recorded. That's what they're trying to get you under. But the fact is that if there's criminal activity going on, you're allowed to do undercover investigation. And clearly, there's criminal activity taking place here. There's great evidence for that. But do you see this? I mean, do you see it at this point? Are you feeling confident in this and looking at it as, wow, this actually, they came after me, but this was actually a perfect opportunity to actually get them on the stand and make them testify?
Yes, that's all correct. The facts of the law are totally on our side, and we didn't do anything that regular local news journalists in California don't do on a daily and weekly basis. Not a single California reporter has ever been prosecuted under the California video recording law before. My case is the first one and the only one like it. We were careful to never record private conversations or conversations in a private area. The California law, number one, only applies to confidential communications. If a conversation is happening in a public area where people can overhear, and that's clear, from these videos, you see conversations happening in crowded public restaurants and the lobbies and mezzanine levels of hotels open to the public. These are not private or confidential settings, and even the former CEO of Planned Parenthood admitted that under oath to Congress. And beyond that, as you say, it's also correct that that in California, you're even allowed to record a private conversation if you're doing it in order to gain evidence of a violent crime that is to be committed or was being committed. So the facts and the law are totally on our side with everything that we did, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud to be able to, to explain that in the legal process. But even more importantly, as you say, or even more significantly, Planned Parenthood thought that they were just going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at me and at my colleagues at Center for Medical Progress, and they thought that we would just fold very quickly. And I think that, as is sort of their pattern, they really underestimated, and they really didn't understand the character of the people that they were dealing with here. And certainly of the people that I work with, and they really don't understand the other side. I think that we understand them a lot better than they understand us. And so 4 years later, I'm still here. I'm not backing down. I'm not giving up. I'm ready to take this as far as it has to go. Planned Parenthood's people, on the other hand, are not ready for prime time. They have panic attacks before they go on the witness stand practically. And they are being put on the record. Their information and their documents are being produced, sworn and authenticated in these cases. And much of it is becoming public. And it's incredibly discrediting and incriminating for them, because all of the evidence of their crimes against women and children are coming to the forefront through the evidence and the testimony that's being produced. And that process is only going to continue and accelerate in the weeks and months ahead. And Planned Parenthood has brought that on themselves because they chose to bring all of these issues into the courtroom. So we're making them play by the rules of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much I'd like to ask you. I know we're running short on time. If I could just get in maybe a few lightning round questions real quick. I know that when people share the videos and share the information that is coming out, one of the first things that pro-abortion people are going to push back on is the false talking point, the lie that Planned Parenthood has put out there, which is that these videos are edited, meaning by that they're trying to say that they're somehow doctored and therefore invalid and everyone should ignore them. I know that's a false claim, but when people encounter that, how would you recommend they answer that?
The video camera doesn't lie, and the people featured on those videos have now sworn in open court that those are their actual words that they really said.
Okay, good enough. And so people can just reiterate that as they're challenged on that. Also, when they're challenged, when people maybe push back and say, well, this, I agree this is a horrible thing that has been exposed here, but this is just kind of an outlier, something extreme that has maybe taken place on the fringes. What would you say to that? I mean, I know that in the videos, certainly it seems to be revealed there very clearly that the trafficking of these baby body parts, it's not some isolated incident, but it really goes up to the highest levels of the national organization of Planned Parenthood. But how would you encourage people to respond to something like that?
That's correct. The biggest and wealthiest Planned Parenthood abortion clinics in the country have been involved in harvesting and selling aborted baby body parts for decades at this point, and this activity was known and promoted and even participated in by top-level officers of the National Planned Parenthood Office.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then finally, we did a full show a couple of weeks ago on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that House Republicans are currently trying to get to the floor, and Democrat leadership continues to block it. And one of the false claims that they make in trying to block it is they just say, hey, there actually are no babies that are being born alive during abortion procedures. So you certainly know that that's not true. In fact, not only is that not true, not only is there a failure rate when it comes to abortion, and there are babies being born alive, but some of them are being intentionally born alive based on this evidence in order for their organs to be harvested. What would you say to Democrats that are blocking that, or anyone who makes that false claim based on the facts that and the evidence that you have seen?
You know, I would say number one, even if it only happens once, it's still a tragedy, and those kids have just as much of a right as you or I do to live and to grow and to be part of our community in America, number one. Number two, we heard incredibly revelatory testimony from two stellar expert witnesses in the preliminary hearing just a couple of weeks ago, one of whom was Dr. Forrest Smith, who is one of the longest practicing abortion providers in the United States. And he's an OBGYN, and he testified that to a medical certainty, fetuses and preterm children are being born alive inside Planned Parenthood clinics, both just as a, you know, as a normal side effect of the procedures they're using and as something intentionally desired for organ harvesting, but also he even went through their medical protocols and looked at the dosages of drugs that they're using for preoperative procedures on patients who are undergoing late-term abortions. And he says, as an OBGYN, this is clear evidence that they're way overdosing these patients, and they are intentionally trying to cause live deliveries for organ harvesting or just for the convenience of the doctors, either one. The published scientific evidence, the testimony from expert witnesses, the testimony from eyewitnesses, the undercover footage, all of it is overwhelming that children are sometimes born alive in the course of abortion procedures in our country. And they are being born alive into situations where the people involved do not have their best interests at heart. They are our total equals under the law and under the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution as written. And so they deserve to have those rights protected by law in our country. And so anyone who wouldn't support that should be ashamed of themselves and should not be in leadership.
Absolutely. People can find the videos, the investigative video footage to share, to watch and to share by going to centerformedicalprogress.org. They can also go to action items on the website there at centerformedicalprogress.org and sign and share the petition for Congress to investigate Planned Parenthood's illegal sale of baby body parts, and also some other great action items there as well. David, any final message, final word for us today?
I think that we are, as a country, experiencing a mass awakening about the inhumanity of abortion to our brothers and sisters in the womb, and we are experiencing a revolution in consciousness about the humanity of our brothers and sisters in the womb. And so now is the time more than ever to stand up for them and be their voice, and to make sure that the predations of the abortion industry come to an end.
David DeLeiden, thank you so much for all of your incredible work, and we'll certainly keep you in prayer. I encourage everybody to keep David in your prayers, as well as all of the legal dealings out there in California, that the Lord would continue to have his hand on David and everything out there, and Sandra as well, and all the good work of the Center for Medical Progress, all the lawyers, everybody involved, that the Lord would certainly just guide things, that the truth would be known, and that people would see that truth and act on that truth rightly. So, David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.